This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the Nest, Match Review Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Hello and welcome to the third Back of the Nest Coronavirus Special. I'm Chris Hambling and I'm your host as we try to do our bit to alleviate some of the social distancing boredom. It'll be mainly nonsense, so no change to the normal process. I'll introduce you to the panel after this short message.
No paywall, no subscription.
Back of the Nest.
Fan-created podcasts, videos and articles. Free forever.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, my panel today is Mike Scott.
All right, man, how you doing?
Great, thanks. And we'll come back to you in just a sec. It's also DR Kernaz.
Hello.
Hello. And Nicholas Gillard.
Watcher.
Watcher indeed. Third show in recent memory, Nick. Exciting times, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
Anyway, obviously we'll have to start with, I mean, there's going to be some degree of rebuffing some of the comments made during the preview podcast. If you haven't listened to that, please do, but just understand that these people are liars and some of the things they said about me aren't true. Some of the things they said about me are, but we won't get into which is which, otherwise it'll start to become quite confrontational, I believe. But anyway, just let's talk a little bit about how we're getting on. Obviously, unprecedented times for all of us. Don't want to be overly serious about it. There's so much, you know, going on and so many reasons to be serious and concerned about everything. But I just want to talk a little bit about our individual experiences. For me, I'd just like to share that I used people's sort of irrational fear and general racism to actually find some toilet paper. So living in a pretty much in a town centre as I do, lots of options for shops, but, you know, everything was pretty much stripped bare of all the basic essentials. But I used my reasoning, and down the road from me is one of those sort of mini mart type shops. It's a little bit like the one on Whitehorse Road in near the ground. It's just called Food and Wine. It's that type of a shop. But it's run by Chinese people wearing masks. So went in there, shelves absolutely packed, nobody in there. So I was able to take my pick of the 99p Happy Shopper toilet paper. And it was absolutely delightful to sort of prey on the fears and insecurities of others to get the things that I need. And I only bought what I needed, all right? Go on, Nick.
You should have a relationship with your local shopkeeper who will keep milk and toilet roll for you when you WhatsApp him, and he'll keep some by.
Him? Are they all men, Grandad?
No.
Well, you said him.
Well, yeah. Well, the bloke who works there that I get on with.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
It makes its local community. The community's pulling together. I kept going to his shop when the co-op opened. So he's happy. You know, I kept my custom for the local business and it's paying me back.
Well, good for you. And I'm assuming you're using those powers to help others, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am letting the rest of my family use chocolate roll if they've got a good enough reason.
Absolutely
right. None of this removing makeup from your daughter or anything like that is got to be used for blowing your nose or other stuff.
Yeah, the weird thing is obviously that we're all being told quite rightly that if you just carry on your normal habits, there won't be a problem. But it's funny how, you know, we'll talk a little bit later on about people's general stupidity. So actually, I'll just leave that there. But I also wanted to talk about, I've noticed some behavioural changes with myself during isolation. So I think I've been out twice in the last 2 weeks. So I am starting to suffer a little bit. And I found myself yesterday narrating myself like I was in the Big Brother house for some reason. Didn't really even watch Big Brother past the first couple of series, but it was like, Dear 10 in Chris Hambling's flat. Chris is currently talking to himself for no good reason. And I literally have gone that insane. But, you know, hopefully it'll all be over soon. Mike, how are you getting on?
Well, I mean, that's quite a lighthearted mental image you've put there, but I would imagine some people are struggling a little bit with mental health. I know you didn't want a downbeat show, but definitely if you're having any issues, and it makes you panic a bit thinking you're going to be stuck inside. I know I've been worrying about that a fair bit, so look on the Calm website and stuff like that, the campaign against living miserably, because you don't want to be narrating your own life. Yeah, I'm okay. I was meant to be in Malaga, as I mentioned before. So myself and my other half have had a bit of a staycation in Hastings this week. We went into some totally empty pubs where it was just us and the bar people. And then Boris made us feel bad for that because he's a twat. And he closed those on Friday. So yeah, I'm sort of getting used to it now. The thought that I'm looking after two kids in a one-bedroom flat some of the time is worrying me shitless. But yeah, everyone's got to do their bit, I suppose, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's probably the wrong thing to focus on, but you used the word staycation there. Would you like to apologise now?
When I was saying it, I thought, A, I'm being a twat, and B, Hambo's going to hate that. So,
yeah.
Yes, apology for both of those things.
Thanks, man, appreciate it. DR Kerners, what the hell have you been doing?
Exactly, what the hell have I been doing? It's been a weird one, really, because all the unis, of course, are shut and I've got so much work to do, but it's just everyone right now, because they're inside, everyone just doing their own thing socially in terms of like going online on the PlayStation and stuff like that. And I'll be honest, I've been distracted. I've got so much work to do and all this social distancing thing, I don't get it. It's like we're still allowed to go outside. I saw pictures today of people meeting up at Victoria Park for some, for some market. So how is it meant to work? It's like, you are allowed to go outside, but don't go outside. It's clearly not working. And I'm going to get bored if this continues for another 6 months. So can we all collectively join together and try to stay inside for the best of it? Unless you're like me and I have to go outside today because it's Mother's Day and you forgot to buy your mum a gift.
I just sent my mum a text.
Shit. Shit.
And this pod will probably be out too late for most people. I don't know, you might catch it early enough. Well, you know, you're right, Dia. A lot of people struggling with the whole concept of social distancing. It seems pretty simple enough, but it's funny what panic does to people, isn't it? But I think if you're seeing other people outside not doing it, that's not a reason to kind of join them. And I've seen that a lot with like people taking videos at shops and they're like, oh, I can't believe all these people queuing and panic buying at 7 a.m. in Tesco. And it's like, you're in Tesco at 7 a.m. taking that video, doing your shopping. Do you know, like, you're doing the exact same thing. Absolutely.
That might be the routine. That's the thing. Like, that might be someone's routine.
It's unlikely, isn't it? Let's face it.
Oh, okay.
The older you get, the earlier you do go shopping, I've found. But I have to go out and walk the dog, and it's really weird. The dog walkers won't sort of go near each other. We're kind of shouting across the field. But it's good to get out. I know everybody's got to stay in, but if you can go out and have a walk, that's really, really good for your mental health.
Yeah.
Really good for your mental health.
Definitely. And you strike me as the sort of man who likes to stand in field shouting anyway, Nick, so probably right.
Yeah, and find things to do. I mean, we've got three kids at home. I've got somebody who's been studying really, really hard for A-levels, suddenly told, oh, they're not happening. So he's worried about getting his uni place. The other son's been studying really, really hard and thinking he'll be able to catch up to do well in his GCSEs because he hasn't been well anyway. He's got the because he's isolated for 6 months already and now he's got to do it again. But, you know, we've just said you're well planned for it. But I've bought new strings for the guitars. Bought some playing cards, we've got loads of jigsaw puzzles. I've got loads of yeast we've been baking. We bought loads of seeds. We're just going to keep as busy as we can. And, you know, I can't play the guitar. I'm going to try and learn, which is really going to piss everybody else in the house off because it's not very big. But, you know, what can you do?
It must get boring, though. I heard something about divorce rates going up. I don't think it was here. I think it was in China initially, but I'm pretty sure other countries went along with it as well. Because imagine sitting in the house with someone for 6 months. After a while, you can see their flaws and you must be bored of them. Like, it must be... luckily, I'm not married. I don't have any of that problem, but I feel for you guys. You know, I feel for some of you.
You old romantic, D, are you? I did see, like, loads of types of tweets like this have gone around, but I think the one that stuck in my mind was some guy tweeted, oh, I just spent a full week in the house with the wife. She seems all right. You know? But there you go. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of, it's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? More kids and more divorces. But, tough times for everybody. But, yeah, we've got to pull together and do the best we can and, you know, concentrate on doing the right things and not worrying about the people that aren't, trying to keep them at a distance, and kind of what will be. So just a quick reminder to download the Pitch Sport Football app. Google Pitch Sport Football and you'll be able to find their website. Download the app and join us on there. DR often does videos there. Obviously a bit quiet at the moment for good reason, but probably a bit too quiet as they ran a simulation based on Liverpool fans rating players versus Palace fans rating players. And their result was Liverpool to beat Palace 5-0, which was outrageous. So the more of us that get on there and start positively communicating about Palace, the better. My code on there is KUGKUT if you want to add me to the mates section. And start competing against each other with results and all that sort of stuff when the football gets up and going again. But they're still producing content. Check them out on Twitter as well. Great bunch. And we really appreciate their support, continuing to support us with these podcasts in these times. And we'll continue to support them as well. If you want to get in touch with us, you can, of course, leave us a WhatsApp voice message on 0203 575 1266. Our socials are Instagram at Back of the Nest CPFC, Twitter is at Back of the Nest, Facebook is Back of the Nest, YouTube is Back of the Nest, and email is hi@backofthenest.com. And as always, we really appreciate positive iTunes reviews or your chosen podcast app. 5 stars, please. Comments, you can say whatever you want, but just give it 5 stars. Thanks very much.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp 0203 575 1266.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. So our first topic is football chat. We're going to find some football chat. I'm probably going to start with an update of our team of the decade. You've been getting your votes in over the course of the last few weeks and can continue to do so. Check us out on Twitter to find the details there. There's a lovely survey you can do to put in your team of the decade. And we're comparing your votes on each position. So far, the goalkeeper is Vicente Guaita, left back Patrick Van Aanholt. And last week we talked about the voting was for Scott Dan versus Mamadou Sakho for the first centre-back position. And incredibly, it was Scott Dan who won out with 541 votes versus 197. An absolute landslide for Scott Dan there. Something I'm quite surprised about. You know, personally, I think ability-wise, I'd still say Sakho's the better player, but Scott Dan has made such an impact at Palace. Easy to forget the impact he made when he joined from Blackburn. A great deal. I think it was only a couple of million quid with some add-ons. And he's just absolutely massive for us and quality player. So the first centre-back for the team of the decade is Scott Dan. Nick?
It wasn't Gaeta who won the goalkeeper. It was Speroni, apparently. Our producer just informed
us. Sugar. That's me writing something down that I voted for trying to change reality. It was Julian Speroni. You're quite right. Oh dear, what happened there?
Yeah, can't get the staff.
No, you're right. Well corrected. That'll be what that weird noise was that I heard correcting me. There we go. So, yes, Speroni in goal, Patrick Van Aanholt left back, and first centre-back Scott Dan. We talked about Dan a little bit last week, and it's sort of fitting that the last few games Palace have played that he's been right back in form as well. So week ahead, it's Aaron Wan-Bissaka versus Joel Ward. I want to get the views of the panel on that, and as we get another week to vote. Mr. Scott.
Well, if Dan has absolutely caned that in a landslide, and that sort of suggests heart over head, it would suggest to me that Ward's going to give Wan-Bissaka a caning as well, if people vote the similar way, going for sort of longevity, you know, being a real stalwart for the club rather than skill and maybe a shorter period of being amazing.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think, you know, Wan-Bissaka proving at Man United what a good player he is. You know, he's a £50 million footballer. Let's not forget that. So logically, if you're talking about talent, you're talking about the best player in that position. You know, you can't forget that a very inexperienced Wan-Bissaka won that position over Joel Ward and kept that position. So is arguably a better player. DR, what do you reckon?
Wan-Bissaka, yeah, he wins it for me in that aspect. But then again, it's so weird because I do agree with the Scott Dan bit. So it's a bit, I'm in the middle. It's like, how can I vote Scott Dan? Because Sacco is the better player, but vote for Wan-Bissaka over Joel Ward. But I think it's the fact that Scott Dan, he was, I mean, before the captaincy thing happened, he was pretty much solid at the back. He was one of the better players at the team. So I'm not really that surprised about the Scott Dan thing, but he has to be Wan-Bissaka in terms of right back, especially talent-wise, because he's one of the best right now in the Premier League as well. And Joel Ward, he's been a great servant, but if you're talking about talent, there's no question about it.
Hold up. Why have we only got one centre-back?
We'll do the other one next.
After
right-back.
Yeah. I mean, why we can only play one centre-back. It doesn't matter. We've got Roy Hodgson, so...
Hang on. He's not quite that mad. Actually, that's really unfair. I'm pro-Roy at the moment, because we're not playing any games, but...
You miss him now.
I do miss it, miss the old guy, his little face.
One shot on target.
Now is not the time. Come on, positivity. Nick, your thoughts on Wan-Bissaka versus Ward?
Ward nearly got a chant, didn't he? I remember it seems aeons ago that we were talking about getting Joel Ward a chant in the old Holmesdale radio days. And we thought very, very highly of him. And like Dan, he's been a terrific servant to the club. But I used to wake up on a Saturday morning and look forward to watching a defender when Wan-Bissaka was playing. And that's never, ever happened before. Maybe when I was younger with Kenny Sampson. But he's just one of a kind, Wan-Bissaka. So unfortunately for Waldy, although Ward deserves a lot of recognition for his longevity, that one season of Wan-Bissaka was worth 10 of what Ward's done. Just skill and excitement and getting the tackles in. It's just criminal that he had to go so early. The fact was, he's a Man United fan, and of course he's going to want to go and play for them. It would have been nice to see Wan-Bissaka play for longer. Perhaps that might even put people off of him. Who knows?
Well, Ward has got a chant now. The HF boys started one, and they circulated it. I think before the Arsenal away game this season. It's the we've got Joel Ward on the right song, which is great, but it's quite low in terms of singing it. So you see like 300 guys trying to sing it, but it doesn't really project very loudly because it's quite low to sing. So, but it is good.
Can you sing it for me? I don't know the chant.
No,
remind you a bit of reminding.
Right, here we go.
Yeah,
afterwards
go on.
Though, Nick, you've got to sing the Joel Ward chant that we had on the show from way back when. I'm sure you can remember it.
What, the one to the tune of Jolie?
That's it. So I think the new one is, we've got Joel Ward on the right. And then there's other words.
Oh, yeah, that's the Buckethead song.
Plays for
yeah.
Palace day and night. That's why we've got Joel Ward on the right.
Nick, what was your rendition?
Joel Ward. he'll run it down the wing, take on your man, or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. But there were about four or five different entries. No doubt some will pop into my mind during the show. If they do, I'll pipe up. Not randomly in the middle of a sentence.
Can't wait. Right, so let's talk a little bit about what the club's been doing in the time away from the actual matches. We've had lots of memorable game tweets, which have really been great. I mean, one of the first things that I did during lockdown was repeatedly watch the Brighton highlights to keep myself cheerful. But so many great matches being talked about. First one that cropped up, I think, that I saw was Charlton away, where KG scored the winner there and told the story on Twitter. It is probably number three in my most drunk at Palace matches. I've just got such strong memories of pre-game where we all met up at London Bridge. Palace absolutely took over the Barrowboy and Banker. There was queues. If you went outside for a smoke or something, or to get some fresh air from the carnage inside, you ended up having to queue for 20 minutes to get back in because it was a sort of one in, one out policy. And there's people up on tables. It was just, I don't know. I've got some amazing pictures from that day as well, which I have very little memory of taking, but such a great group of people, such a great atmosphere. The feeling of togetherness back then was amazing. And of course, at the time, the games against Charlton were, you know, the whole Way to Amarillo song was very prevalent, and that was the game where we properly sort of turned things around on them and just handed them a beating with a great goal. The HF were in a proper ascendancy at the time. It was a very early experience of some pretty impressive pyro. Massive red smoke bomb went off when we scored, and the noise was just incredible. I got very little. I left the pub. I remember just there was a whole horde of people, and for some reason I was at the head of the group, and we were all just singing and jumping around and all that sort of stuff, and everyone was following me, and I was too pissed to know where I was going, so I took us all completely to the wrong train platform and we missed our train. And then just having a huge crowd of drunk Palace fans just abused me, and rightfully so. It's actually one of my favourite memories, but there's other things that happened. We actually got to the right train platform, got to the ground. We went to a pub there, which again I have no memory of, but later on people were telling me about some of the stuff that was going on, and I was up on a table and we pulled some netting down and a cowboy hat fell from the netting, and apparently I managed to frisbee it across the pub and it landed perfectly on someone's head, and their reaction was to stop for 2 seconds, cheer, and then down their pint. It was that kind of stuff. It was just an amazing memory. Anybody else remember that game?
You completed it. Like, you've done it. You've said it. Like, it's done. On to the next one.
Yeah, a bit early. Early for you, wasn't it, DR?
Yeah. Game-wise, yeah. Go into the game as well.
Just looking at some of the players on that clip, it doesn't seem that long ago, but Johnny Parr, loved him playing there. But KG, bit of an enigma, wasn't he? He never the same when he came back from the World Cup. Really, really big. He just didn't cut it anymore, no, did he?
Absolutely right.
But he was... he's a good player for
managing a South African club now. I can't remember their name, but I looked him up. He went to, was it Cardiff, I think?
Yeah.
After us, and yeah, ended up not being renewed. He'd moved to South Africa, played like 10 games, and then ended up having his contract cancelled because he was too heavy, shall we say. bless him. But great player for us for a long while, and who can forget that contribution in the 2-0 victory over Brighton in the playoffs, where he laid the ball off for Wilf. Fantastic stuff. Next game, DR, you will remember this one. Christian Bull, the 3-3. Just amazing memories of that. Were you there for that one, or was it a TV one for you?
No, I was there. Whitehall Stand. It was like, I was watching the videos yesterday from after Palace Twitter posted it, and the flashbacks that come into my head, Luis Suarez crying because of Dwight Gayle and Yannick Bolasie, has to be one of the greatest football stories out there. I mean, the fact that we were 3-0 down and they were singing about 9-0, that's because I think they needed to score 9 goals to go ahead by goal difference. So they were so confident. And the fact that not even just them two, Damien Delaney, like players like this, with all due respect, ending hopes of players like Luis Suarez is just fantastic. And that day I lost myself. I always say I lost myself, but that day I literally fell down so many rows, and I was so young as well. It's like, That's, I'm still traumatized by that day in a way. I don't know if I'm traumatized, if I'm excited, but it was such a wild, wild day. And I'll do anything to go back at that stage where Dwight Gayle scored the third goal.
Yeah, I mean, I still to this day think it's the loudest we ever got at Selhurst. And it was from the second that Delaney's goal went in that it just, the noise levels and just the intensity. And it was, I said before, and we talked about it a couple of times on this show, I'm sure, but you just knew. You just, the second that it went in, we were just like, well, it's obvious. We're gonna come back. We might even win it. It's just no doubt whatsoever. You could see the Liverpool players kind of just shrink and the Palace players grew, and it was just unbelievable. And Bolasie absolutely tearing them apart. Poor Glenn Johnson never recovered from that. I mean, he was sort of struggling at the time anyway, but was just embarrassed repeatedly. And, oh, man, it was just, I just can't ever imagine feeling like that. I mean, I can remember celebrating the goals, and there were definitely, well, there were three Liverpool fans in front of us who managed to get into the half wait. One of them couldn't handle it even at half time with them winning and just went, but the two of them remained because we knew they were Liverpool. When we were scoring those goals, we were jumping on them and celebrating, like pretending that, obviously, yeah, you're Palace, but just really shaking them about, and they just had to take it. It was so good.
That was the most amazing celebration. I can still see in my mind's eye Glenn Murray with the best chest on of the ball in footballing history for just to put Dwight through. They had some special chemistry, didn't they? We haven't had the same since, really.
No, you don't get partnerships sort of like, you know, the kind of telepathic stuff that they were showing. And they didn't play together anywhere near enough, really. But, you know, it's also hard to forget that was under Tony Pulis as well.
Oh, kind of. It was loud, so loud though. I was in the family end of the main stand, and that was rocking. I've never seen the whole of the main stand on their feet cheering a goal before. It was unique. But you're right about when Delaney scored, everybody had an inkling that something might be happening here, and Liverpool just collapsed. And it was beautiful, beautiful to watch.
Mike,
and seeing Suarez not being
Mike, any experience from
not
you
being
on
able
that?
To show the face.
Yeah, I was in the Arthur Waite, and I distinctly remember there was plenty of people that were really annoyed about standing of any variety. So I kind of watched the majority of the match sitting, you know, managing to push my rather large legs in behind the seat in front. And every time I stood up, there was a couple that were really pissed off. That's mainly what I remember about that game. And one of the reasons that the Arthur Waite is a thing of the past for me.
Yeah, it's bit of a shocker, really, but I'm sure you enjoyed it though, right?
Yeah, I was pretty pissed, to be honest.
That's fairly standard. Another one that cropped up, it was either today or yesterday at the time of recording, was a 3-0 victory over Cardiff. And that one just, again, it was away, and I remember being there and just witnessing probably one of Jason Puncheon's best performances in a Palace shirt. And a lot of people reminiscing over that one about, you know, he got some stick at times from people, and some people didn't rate him, but just how hugely important he was for a long, long spell in that Palace side. You know, starting off as a winger, then obviously moving infield and you know, becoming a real sort of force in there as well. You know, and it was several seasons where he was incredibly influential and seemed to pop up just when we needed him at times. And just the third goal there as well, and witnessing Shamak's lovely little step over and then a glorious long range strike, you know, that brought the memories back. And that was critical at the time to keep us from being in danger of relegation.
This was the away game, right?
Yeah.
That was my first ever away game as well. I remember that. I went by with the club coach, and I remember, I think there was horse racing that was going on at the time. Was it Cheltenham or something like that? And I remember everyone going crazy about that at the time. But yeah, it was a fantastic day. It was great experience. But I mean, since then, the club coach, no. I mean, I'd rather walk to him.
Yeah. I mean, the club coach is that kind of thing that you do. They have like, once a season when it's free, usually when people would do it. And then there's a sort of standard group of people that go and have kind of adjusted to it, but it's really not the thing to do. And I've talked about it on this show before, but worst ever days on the club coach was Everton away when it got called off and we were about 5 minutes from the ground. So basically I got on the club coach for best part of 10 hours for no reason. And I've never been back since. Horrific, horrific experience.
The thing that I don't get is that they rush you. Like, I mean, yes, we want to go home, but it's like, go get your food in 5 minutes, come back. Like, it's like, I'm like, let me have a breather. Like, I've been stuck in this club coach for like how long? And you're going slow as, I might as well swear as well, because Mike's been swearing, fuck. And then, yeah, it's like, come on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, they take baffling routes and they pick the worst services to stop at. It's just incredible. They seem to, you know, structure it to cause the most amount of grief possible to your journey. But there we go. Look, it's a vital service for some people. Final one, you weren't even born. I'm sure you know you weren't, DR, but it was a Wolves FA Cup game when Palace won 4-1 and scored four of the most incredible goals you will ever see. And if you haven't seen it yet, get on the Palace Twitter and check it out. It's unbelievable. Chris Armstrong, just come off a ban for use of marijuana and just played out of his skin in that game, opened the scoring with an overhead kick. Then Ian Dowie, you know, playing for Palace, if you can imagine such a thing, if you didn't see him, managing to sort of chest the ball and spin volley it in one motion into the roof of the net. Just an astonishing strike. The third one was from the sadly departed Darren Pitcher, who chested the ball about, must have been 35 yards out, and just rocketed a volley into the top, hitting the sort of actual top corner, rattling the stanchion and dropping in the net. Just absolutely stunning. Before Chris Armstrong finished the scoring by smacking the ball from a ridiculous angle, and it actually got wedged into the top corner of the goal. Something I've never seen before or since. Just absolutely unbelievable performance, and just four of the top ever Palace goals.
They talked about best ever Palace goals in the preview coronavirus pod. If you haven't listened to it yet, you don't really need to listen to these in order because you know they're gibberish. Also, I wasn't a Palace fan at the time. I was Castle and Athletic, probably was the only thing I got to see at that age. But the season sort of VHS videos for those seasons for Palace, somebody's kindly put on YouTube for the majority of the early 90s, if you're really bored. I mean, the footage can be a bit scratchy, but they're worth a watch if you're missing some old school Palace.
Absolutely right. And we're nearing the end of our football content. We're doing our best. But some good news stuff from Palace and Palace-related people. The first was Wilfried Zaha and his... He's got a business where him and his colleague have sort of high-end luxury apartments for business people. They're like short-stay apartments and things like that. They seem to have been fairly recently launched, and they've just reached out on social media and just offered them for free to NHS staff, which was an incredible gesture, made all the more incredible by huge swathes of general football people and specifically a whole bunch of Brighton fans having to kind of eat that little bit of humble pie and tweet him saying, you know, what an incredible thing it was, and how they'll have to think twice before giving him stick at games and all that kind of stuff. And kind of amazing when, you know, you can put that level of hatred that they do have for him to sort of one side. And it kind of just shows you that's the kind of togetherness that we need at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it'll change the stick. I mean, they'll still give him stick by it. That won't change it. But the thing with Wilf that you have to consider is the fact that he has been given money to charity since the start of his career, pretty much. So it's not a thing of a publicity stunt or something like that, which some people may suggest. It's the fact this man genuinely has the wealth, so he wants to share it out with people that's in need. And you have to take that into consideration, what a man he is, because he's been a local boy for how long, and he's trying to help out the people in London, of course, and other places. And I mean, it's absolutely brilliant, and credit to him. What a guy, someone to look up to.
Yeah, absolutely right. He's, you know, he's been a role model for a long, long time. Like you say, I think it's his whole career. 10% of his salary goes to charity, and he's never changed that. And, you know, looks after his family, looks after his friends, looks after his local community. Just a top, top man. And great to see more people recognising that.
Yeah, but even with the charity thing, I've seen when Mata, for example, he decided to give money to charity. There was lots of talks about that. But with Wilf, he's been doing it since the start of his career. But no one's really been talking about that. That's what I mean. Like, the news is always so negative around him. It just feels like there's an agenda. Of course, with this one, they're going to mention it. But he's been doing this for how long now? And yet again, people don't know this. So it seems like it's something new, whereas this is wealth. I mean, this is what he does. He gives to the people need. But yeah, it's just annoying in that aspect.
Yeah, he shows a sense of humbleness, isn't it, if he's not going around bragging about it and, you know, people are just finding out what a kind bloke he is. But fair play to him. Quite a lot of footballers do it. So, yeah, well done.
Absolutely. And as ZO Properties or ZO Properties, whatever it is. But, you know, obviously they're not doing it for publicity or anything like that. But, I hope they do get some positive publicity from it. And there's certainly lots of people have noticed it, which is great. But other than that, Palace just doing an incredible job at the moment. I'm just going to rattle off a couple of things, and then Mike's going to tell us about something that came out today. So first up, just, you know, Steve Parish out in the press straight away saying Palace will be paying their staff in full during the time that the football is off, protecting jobs. No one's losing their job or anything like that. And that was way before the government announced any kind of backing for that position. So tremendous credit for the club doing the right thing, and just shows you just a nice, healthy reminder the kind of people that are in charge of Crystal Palace Football Club. They do have a social conference. The work being done in the community by Palace for Life Foundation is incredible, and doesn't get enough attention. And this just showing you again that mentality that the club have, a proper community club, looking after its people.
Yeah, you forget that, you know, with multinational and virtually countries owning football clubs, it's often forgotten that actually the football club where the ground is the heart of the community. It'll always be that way. And you do wonder if foreign owners coming in or anybody coming in from outside the area know how much that means. You've only got to look at Mike Ashley in Newcastle. But yeah, lots of fan groups, lots of clubs doing really well. And it's good to see.
Exactly. And you know, you want this to be showing the way for people. And you know, lots of people are talking about the current situation and how it might change society. And this is the kind of change that we want to see. But I'd say it's in keeping with how Palace have operated from day one under CPFC 2010. Another thing that came out today, which is absolutely incredible and just, you know, sort of came out of the blue, really, from a tweet from someone who'd experienced it. And it seems that Palace are ringing all the over 70s season ticket holders and members and talking to them and just making sure first and foremost that they're okay and they're able to answer the phone and just asking if they need anything and trying to support them. And you know, who knows what kind of responses they're getting. I saw someone joking that if they ring their father, all he'll say is, am I going to get a discount off my season ticket? But you know, sort of humor aside, it's an incredible thing to do. And just being that community minded and you know, not seeing your season ticket holders as customers, seeing them as people. You know, you've got to commend the club for that, and just an incredible piece of work. And Mike, something about the training regime was released today.
Yeah, I know a few people have been sort of wondering when the Premier League starts, what the fitness situation will be with the players. And Sky Sports News did a rundown of all the teams that it knew of in the Premier League, and I think the EFL as well, where they knew, saying what the players are doing, and it looks as though it's a spread between you know, letting them go, letting them do their own thing and trusting them, or setting them a physical fitness agenda, which seems to be what Palace have done. So they've gone to each player, given them a tailored fitness plan, asked them to go home and do it. So you know, you'd imagine they're still going to need a couple of weeks when they come back to get back to fitness, and maybe the first couple of games from all the teams will be a bit more lackluster than usual. But yeah, they're obviously still in touch with them, still telling them what to do each day. So that's interesting.
Indeed. So we had a couple of bits of communication from the listeners. I'm going to pick the one at the top of the list. I don't know if you've got some others, Mike. But there was a thing that happened on Twitter where a guy was sharing some artwork he did of a picture of Vicente Guaita with, you know, made out of, with sort of other Palace pictures superimposed in the background. Really nice piece of work. But he was sort of sharing it and praising the person that did it. And apparently I saw some picture that the actual piece of art's been delivered to him. And he's one of those people, since it's gone quiet with no football, who's just reaching out, following people on Twitter, engaging with them on Twitter. Just getting so much love at the moment. And that sort of question, and it's not, I don't even know if it's even a question, really. I suppose it ends up as one, from Josh F. And he's saying, is it the best thing you've ever seen since the games were stopped or ever? And it's not, I wouldn't say it's necessarily the best thing I've ever seen a Palace player do. I might have a little think about what that might be, but it's just in keeping with the man. He really gets Palace and really understands, you know, that he is loved at Palace and is reciprocated. And that's why he'll probably go down as a Palace legend by the time he's done here, as long as people don't, you know, no one comes in and pays too much money and we have to wave him off. But fantastic stuff. Anything else on there, Mike?
Yeah, unless, of course, he goes to Man City next season. Darren Broadfoot has said, is it acceptable to put your children in the cupboard if they're getting on your nerves? Seems as if it's exceptional times. Threatening them with wearing Brighton, Watford, Millwall and Charlton kits isn't working anymore. Darren, feel your pain. So I've got two kids and I'm going to be having them in a one-bedroom flat for certain times. Then Will Luck has asked if we discuss the most over and underrated players since we got promoted. So maybe we'll include that in one of the future pods. Quick answer, most underrated, i.e. most overrated, Jordan Much. Gareth Shapiro has said his first game was Saturday the 7th, 2005. Drew 2-2 at home with Southampton. On the way out, I overheard a young lad say to his dad, that result helped neither team. Should they have let us win? His question is really, should they have?
I remember it well. That was, I'm assuming he's talking about the Ventola miss followed by the Higginbottom equaliser. A sort of period of play that's one of the most devastating I've ever witnessed as a Palace fan, and it was completely pointless for both teams. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, 15 years on, it's still bothering him, so that's good. And Charles Meyer has said, how about we set up a FIFA tournament amongst Palace fans? We'd need some sort of rules for teams, games, format, etc. If you want to do that, probably DR's the man to talk to, and DR's the man to kick your ass as well, Charles. So I'd imagine if you want that, if anyone wants that, just either send us a DM or just tag us and we can start something for people. But I'm very much a Brian Lara Cricket 2009 kind of player.
Absolutely right, Mike. I think we share that. Mikey did try and actually do something much, much earlier, then tried to reach out to some Liverpool podcasts, but obviously the FIFA hype went late in Orient's way, so it kind of got lost. But if you're interested in that, drop us a message on any of the social media mentioned before, or email us hi@backofthenest.com. We'll see if we can put something of some sort together. We're more than willing whenever to do that. So, yeah, Mikey will organise it. He'll probably play, but he gets very angry. So I imagine we'll make DR beat you all.
Good old days.
You still good at FIFA, DR?
I don't really play it anymore. I don't really play it anymore, but I'm all right. But it's just in mind of the days where me and Mikey used to play FIFA together and how annoyed he'll get. And he'll just be so hilarious, like, in terms of... a couple things would break. Let me just say that. That's how bad...
I think that, you know, if... Well, I've heard something from Mikey there. It's a shame his microphone is so bad at the moment that he probably can't stop me from talking about some of the things that went on. And if there's any podcast where it's the right time to do that, maybe it's this one. I will say that there was an occasion where Mikey sent me a Facebook Messenger image of what happened to his controller after a game against DR. And I think it was probably, that was the one where it was maybe in about 3 or 4 weeks, DR, before he spoke to you again.
Yeah. Lots of things happened in that phase. And I was so baffled. It's like, why is he taking it so serious? Well,
just in Mikey's defence, though, because he'll quite rightly be thinking that if I'm talking about his FIFA age, mine is considerably worse. And I will acknowledge that with no further comment.
Yeah, you've only been
that. Yeah. Yeah, do you remember I played you once? I think it was 0-0 when I rage quit. I think I gave away a penalty in the first minute, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, good time. So that is the lot for your football chat.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp. 0203 575 1266.
Okay, so we've got some general conversation now, and this is where it's anything that kind of occurred to us over the last few days. We thought we'd have a chat about, try and lighten the mood a little bit. And one of the things I came across on Twitter, and there's a lot of these types of things going about, but this was undoubtedly my favourite because it just reminded me so much of the kind of thing that DR would send to our WhatsApp group at random times. you know, usually they were about spiders and things like that. But let's have a little listen now.
I just got into work this morning, boys, and my manager's son, he works for NASA, and they just had like a massive meeting as well about the whole coronavirus thing. And a bit of inside information, we will be going down on lockdown soon, but they reckon the government won't be able to handle it. So what they're saying is if the police and the military, if they fail in controlling the people to stay in, like, with a curfew, that NASA are going to let the aliens patrol the streets with their ray guns. And if you're seen after, I think it's 8 o'clock, they're going to zap you. But yeah, that's just some inside information for you lot to know. Probably be coming out in the news soon. But yeah, man, stay safe.
Can you imagine turning on BBC? BBC News at 6. Aliens will come down to protect their ray guns. Fucking hell. Honestly.
I just love that's the bits that I like most were the alien, you know, obviously. My mate's son works for NASA, which was good. But I just, the mention of ray guns, and if you're outside after 8 p.m, they're going to zap you. I mean, it's just absolutely glorious.
Interesting fact, I bought weed off that man in about 2003.
Yeah, he was probably still talking about ray guns then, wasn't he? So.
Yeah.
DR...
It's the seriousness of his voice as he says it. He says, this is kosher. This is, you know, this is real, you know, believe
absolutely
me.
Absolutely right. I mean, it's up there. The one that got the most popularity was the guy who I suspect from some of the tweets I've seen is actually a Palace fan who put a similar voice message out about the fact that he's heard that the army are going to take a responsibility for feeding everyone by making a giant lasagna in Wembley Stadium. And he went on to describe how they'll put the roof over and the lights will cook the giant lasagna before they start dishing it out in portions to people. So, I mean, that's the sort of stuff I like about in the current crisis. But DR, do you feel that clip was slightly reminiscent of you and the kind of shenanigans you get up to?
No, not really. I enjoyed it. I mean, I retweeted it on my Twitter account. I've never done anything like that. I don't know where this agenda's coming from as well. The fact that I would say something like that at a random time. What have I said? That's crazy.
You love conspiracies though, right? I mean, you've definitely messaged me with some voice memos with some conspiracy theories. 100%. I can't remember them annoyingly, but you have.
There's different ones. I can remember some of them. But that's because I'm fooling around. Like, I get bored and I'm like, all right, let's make a conspiracy up right now. Half the time, I don't really mean it. I mean, actually.
Only half the time.
Actually, there are sometimes. What's the latest conspiracy? Do you remember it?
I can't remember the latest one you said. I really can't. But I mean, I was saying earlier about how easy conspiracy theories are, and you could easily, argue anything in the sort of coronavirus situation. Like it was all Deliveroo or Disney Plus because they're just launching their streaming service, trying to keep people inside. That kind of rubbish. Sorry, Nick, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, when John Squire left for Stone Roses, and they were due to play Reading in their infamous shite gig performance that made me walk off in disgust, I casually told a friend that Johnny Marr was going to replace him. And 6 months later, somebody else told me, and it was common knowledge that Johnny Marr was going to replace John Squire in Stone Roses, and it was just my bullshit. And it was the best conspiracy I've ever done. It's amazing. Because it's just really enough to be possible, isn't it? Yeah, that's the thing. It's got to be just really enough to be possible. The ray guns were the aliens. That ain't.
But his mate's son works for NASA. That's why. Come on, mate.
Yeah, I suppose that could swing it a little bit. So, yeah, and he went on a school trip to CERN as well, so that nails it, really, doesn't
so,
it?
So, on the current topic, you know, I've sort of got this under the category of how dumb are people, and I don't know if anyone on the panel has experienced some further dumbness, but the thing that it almost makes me want to cry, but in other circumstances, it would be considerably more amusing. But the number of different pictures and videos of empty beer shelves, except for Corona, how do you explain that? It's absolute madness. Imagine not buying a beer because it's named similarly. Do they think that Corona is linked to the help?
Well, the fizzy drinks, you can't get them for love nor money now, so they've stopped making them, so it must be true. You know, you can't get the Corona drinks at all. Arbeit's only now in Sainsbury's. But really, people really that stupid? And is that real? Is that not set up? Because I don't believe that's true.
I mean, it could be the fact that Corona is an absolutely terrible beer and should be the bottom choice for everyone. But yeah, I've seen a fair few pictures the last couple of days, especially since the pubs were closed. People saying, oh, there's no booze left. That is just categorically not true. Every shop I've been in, they've got so much extra stock in. And my fridge is absolutely brimming with random Romanian beers that I'm going to get through in the next couple of weeks.
But I think...
Or you just WhatsApp your local shop, as I said earlier, and he'll put a couple aside for you. You've got to make these relationships in your community if it's going to work when the shit
is. You've turned into a proper community member on the spot, haven't you, Nick? But the thing is, Mike, you're probably the only person that lives in your area, like in terms of where do you live in Hastings? What's the population of Hastings? Like 25?
It's true. Fairly quiet. Yeah, it's fairly quiet.
I mean, in London, I went to the shops and I was so baffled. I had to buy a mouthwash because there was no water left. So I'm just...
Wait. I can't let that go. You wanted water.
Yes.
And you bought mouthwash.
Yes, because there's no water left. What am I going to drink? You've still got water here. Look, don't get me wrong. There's still water in the house because we, in general, we buy like stock of water. So there's water from previous times. But if once that water finishes, there's the thing where I'm not going to have tap water. So I need to make sure there's something on the side. So I bought alcohol-free mouthwash.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What?
Straightforward. What am I going to drink?
There's water in taps, isn't there?
No, but not in. Yeah, okay. Taps. In this current environment, you want me to drink water in taps?
When you make a cup of tea, do you put the mouthwash in the
kettle? I still haven't reached that stage. I still use a mouthwash for what is needed to be, but there might be times, because it is getting out of hand, where you might need to drink mouthwash. So I bought one. You can only buy one anyways. There's no mouthwash left. So that was my last resort. There's only one left in the shelf that I could buy. So yeah, but it is what it is.
This is one of the occasions where I'm going to need the help of the listeners. So when you get to this podcast and you hear what we've just heard, I can't find the words right now. So can you help me out by just sending us a short message to hi@backofthenest.com, just explaining to DR some of the issues with the comments he's just made? That'd be really appreciated.
And if you've also managed to listen this far and still not turned it off after the mouthwash conversation, just message as well and say that you're still listening, because I can't imagine there's too many of it.
Oh, there's so much more to come as well, though.
Wait till week 11.
We've got at least half an hour left of this, and there's a quiz coming, so don't turn off or fast forward to the quiz. So I think it's time for another clip, and this time we've got a WhatsApp story from Rory. Now, last Corona podcast we did, so Corona podcast 1, we talked about a question from you, Nick, where you were talking about what's the most unwell. You said unwellest, but I'm not going to repeat it. What's the most unwell you've been at games? And well, Rory introduced us to the very concept himself. So here we go.
Hi, Chris and team. Hope this whole virus thing's going well for you guys. You said to get in touch if any of us had stories about being particularly unwell at the game. Chris, you mentioned specifically shitting yourself. I can't say I've ever done it in my exact seat, but there was this one time many years ago, before the dizzy heights of this thing we call the Premier League, when Crystal Palace offered a Super 6 ticket back in the old Championship. And I had one of these, and there was a game, I think it was against Ipswich, maybe Derby, one of those teams we forget about that never really do anything. but always hope to at the beginning of each season because of their heritage. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, many months passed, and I became quite unwell with the gastro situation, shall we say, which rendered me incapacitated somewhat from going to work and partaking in daily duties. It wasn't till the day itself that I suddenly came to realise that I actually had a game that I was committed to. So I checked and, you know, trained and everything as usual, and it was a weird kickoff time. It was an early kickoff on a weekday, and I don't quite know why, but it was the case. It may have been over a Christmas period, perhaps. So I came up to Norwood Junction, as I used to do back in my days of being youthful and invigorated by life, and around 1 o'clock, I suppose, I turned up, only to halfway up on the train journey to suddenly realise that there'd been a fixture change some weeks earlier, and that the game was now moved to an evening kickoff. So not only was I bunking off work, but I had the company of the cherry trees for around 5 or 6 hours with the most chronic case of the shits I can remember since my mate Stag do in Latvia, where we all drank what we thought was healthy water, which was also another story I could tell you. As you know, the cherry trees hasn't always been the best for hospitality, with our creaking door that doesn't lock. It was okay the first 17 times I went, but as it filled up with Palace fans later in the evening pre-kickoff, it became a bit awkward. So yeah, I left a bit of a legacy behind there, or a bit of a logacy, shall we say. So yeah, I hope you guys haven't had to partake in the displeasure of such an occurrence, but if you did, I'm there with you, and we can stay strong. Much love. Oh, this is Rory, by the way, just getting some self-isolation out by the river, breathing in fresh air.
Now, I've got to say that story resonates with me because I used to frequent the cherry trees a lot more back when I was drinking a lot heavier. And if you get in there, as I often did at opening on a match day, with no one else having used the cherry trees toilet, it's already borderline health hazard, right? It is problematic. As Rory says, the door doesn't lock, and you have, if you're struggling with what sounds like a chronic shits condition that he was suffering on that day, you have to kind of really sort of dice with the devil to block that door from being opened and do your business. And as the place fills up, it becomes more and more complicated and more concerning from a health level. And I can imagine by, you know, shit 15 or 16 that he experienced there, that, you know, he was having to try and hover above the piss-stained bowl whilst trying to wedge the door shut, whilst making some quite incredible noises. So I have to say, Rory, that one really, really does sort of resonate.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible story. Thank you, Rory. Can I please ask that no one else possibly sends any more in similar, or if they're going to be an illness-related one, can it be something other than a shit-related story? That would be nice. Secondly, that I would say of all the toilets of the local pubs, there's none worse than the Cherries. So you're very unlucky to have ended up in there. Thirdly, let's spare a thought for the growing throng of people that had come just to enjoy some Palace that evening, because I would imagine the noise from that toilet just echo straight it back into the bar. So you've probably scarred a fair few of them for life there, Rory. And doubtless they will contact us and tell us their side of the story.
I bet those that are listening that haven't fast-forwarded quiz wish they have now. Toilet stories are very bad. I remember when I did my slow motion falling over in the cherry trees and you told me to go and get cleaned up, and I said, no, I'm all right, I'll just stay out here with mud on my hands, I won't go in there. I once got trapped in a toilet in Greece. Thought I was trapped in graph paper because the ground was red and somebody had spiked my drink with acid. That's my worst toilet story, but I genuinely thought for 3 hours that I couldn't get out of graph paper.
I mean, that's impressive. DR is going to give us a story, but you have just reminded me of when you slow motion fell over in the cherries. I still don't quite understand what happened, but it was funny.
It was.
Oh, my story. I've got a couple, but I'll go with the one Palace related one. Leicester away, Hambo, driving up there. And I mean, I don't know what it was, but it kicked in all of a sudden. Me needing to go toilet. And what was it? I think it was a number two that I had to do. So yeah, we're in the car and I'm about to burst. Like, it's reached that point. I'm about to burst. And we go to Leicester and we can't find a car parking spot. Typical. Until we go to a pub, then I do my toilet there, and then I go to the game. I still have to do my toilet. That game was the most horrendous, wonderful, if that makes sense, game, because we beat them 3-0, I think. But 20 minutes of it, I had to spend in the toilet, despite going to the toilet previously. I mean, it was the most horrific away game.
I gotta say this, because like you, when I picked you up in it was Three Bridges Station, wasn't it? You got the train down from Croydon to meet me. I picked you up and we just pretty much drove straight there. You always moan at me for trying to leave too early, so I always sort of back down and pick you up later, and then we end up with about 5 minutes to get to the game by the time we're nearby. But anyway, when you got in that car, I swear, like, you were pale already. And you were just kept, like, you were really shifty, like, and I was like, what is up with him? We definitely stopped, like, at least one services, and you didn't take that opportunity then.
No,
I wasn't. You are so lucky that I took a chance driving down a road and we happened upon a parking space right outside a pub. Like, the chances of that actually going well for you were like a 1,000 to 1 at least. And you got away with that because I think you're about 40 seconds from shitting yourself.
Yeah, and otherwise I would have shat myself. Like, yeah, as you said, I would have shat myself. The thing is, I went to the toilet. I didn't have anything to eat. Then I still had to go. It was so confusing. I was like, what? It was the morning. I mean, I didn't have nothing much to eat. It must have been my weekly. But I normally shit often. I don't know. It was the most confusing day, because I usually always shit a day. So I don't have much left in me to shit. But that day it was like round one, round two, round three, go. Like, it wasn't.
Can we move on?
Oh.
Yeah, please. But Hambo, just to ask, if he had done, you'd give him a lift back.
There's a whole host of things that would have to have happened before that occurred. You know, I mean, off the top of my head, he'd have to have emptied out a bin and made the bin liner into a nappy. That's one idea off the top of my head. But hey, well, look, let's move on from that story that went slightly differently than how I was interpreting. But yeah, I wouldn't share quite so much about his habits. I think it's time. I got a bit of stick on the preview pod, in particular, you know, the references to pegging, which I've got to say, and a couple of times I think Sam and Albert sort of tried to say that, you know, it wasn't my dating story, that one. It was a story from someone on the show's friend. Let's leave it at that. But, you know, I mean, pegging was discussed, and I'm not going to go over that again because there's more than enough pegging chat on the preview podcast. But as a slight amount of revenge, Albert this week shared with us a situation he was having. Obviously, we were talking about how well we are and whether or not we're having any issues with the virus. And a kind of cryptic message from Albert started with, have I told you about the virus I've got? So we're like, okay, all right, what's going to happen here? Shortly afterwards, Albert sent us a picture. Now, this picture will be available to see if you're listening via the Acast app, because it allows us to insert pictures at certain times of the podcast. So you can check it out there. And we're also going to hopefully include it on the podcast apps as the actual picture for the show. But essentially, I mean, you compared him to Leslie Ashnick. It's essentially, Albert described that he initially had a sort of sore, itchy hands, which then swelled up. There you go, swelled up. And then sort of felt a bit of a weird sensation on his lip as he was going to sleep. And then he woke up with what can only be described as blowjob lips.
It was only his top lip. It wasn't the bottom lip. That's what made it look weird. It was just he'd had collagen in one lip.
Then he sent a subsequent picture where he sort of posed coquettishly. And I've got to say, it definitely did something for me. And we'll perhaps share that as well. But incredible scenes. And, Mike, you saw it. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't have recognised him, to be honest. But I thought he was going to tell us that he'd come down with COVID-19. But no, he just looked, I don't know, like he'd been born with a serious brain injury. It's really hard to explain. Until you see the photo, I don't think he's going to get off too lightly in the next preview pod, definitely. I think Terence is going to rip the shit out of him.
I mean, the worst thing was that in that situation, it's actually quite concerning, really, because you've got, you know, it's obviously some kind of allergic reaction and all that kind of stuff. But you can't give sympathy or concern at that point. It took me about half an hour before I sort of thought I better put some suggestions in, because my stomach was hurting so much from laughing. Because, I mean, it doesn't help that it's Albert, because you know what he's like. You know, you've all listened to him on the preview pod and on the main show at times. And, you know, he's not taking it too seriously, and he's deliberately trying to make us laugh. And, you know, let's face it, he succeeded. But he got zero sympathy. And we will share that glorious, glorious image with you as part of this podcast and on the Acast app. So do check it out. Another little bit for you, another clip coming up, something that, again, lightened the mood that I saw on Twitter during the course of the week. And everybody, obviously, in the country is being affected by this and trying to find some way of keeping normality. Our way of keeping normality is to carry on podcasting and keep chatting amongst ourselves as we usually do. And there's a rugby commentator called Nick Heath, and an article came out in The Poke sharing what Nick had been doing to try and keep his life in order. So let's hear a couple of clips from that now.
So this, the international 4x4 pushchair formation final. And, well, we've got the upfront pair, of course, are Johansson and Eriksson from Sweden, and they're in with the Brits here in Smith and Black, and they're doing particularly well of staying quite close with them around this very delicate bend. Of course, they're pretty familiar with this course, and, well, that's what saw them become European champions just a few months ago. Great to see them back.
Crossroad dash, light turns to red. We wait for the beeps. There they are now then. JD Sportsman, he's got a decent start. Leggings on the outside. Oh, JD Sportsman's been distracted over the shoulder, and Leggings is going to get there. Oh, she does it again. Three titles in 3 days. Off past Vegas Gold for the lap of honour. Victorious.
And there are accompanying videos. If you search the Poke website for Nick Heath, you'll find that article. I've got to tell you, there's more than that, and those are just two we picked out. I mean, the first one is essentially in a park following four people who are pushing pushchairs, making out that it's some kind of a race, which is pretty good. But the second one, you know, he's standing at a crossing in quite a disturbingly busy street, and shouting quite loudly that commentary as people try and cross the road at some traffic lights as well. It's just brilliant stuff. Guys, you've seen the videos. You know, I don't know if there's anything much else to say, but what DRU in particular were quite surprised that he was genuinely following people.
Yeah, I thought it was a voiceover. I didn't realize it was actually following people. Can you imagine walking? It's like you've got all this virus stuff and going about, and you're like, all right, let me just not walk the baby, but I guess push the baby on a, well, not wheelchair, but I'm having a brain fart here. Yeah, imagine pushing, and then you see some guy behind you, I guess he's around his 30s, 40s, just shouting and saying, just shouting weird stuff. I mean, the world has gone bonkers, man, honestly.
Yeah, you know, people cope in their own ways. I very much enjoyed that. Anyway, Mike, a couple of bits from you coming up, which I'll hand over to you for.
Well, now, the preview pod, I asked them to share their worst dating stories, knowing fully well that Terence would have about 50 of them, and the other two, who are monogamous, lovely gentlemen, would not. So he gave us, if you haven't heard it yet, one that went quite harrowing in the end. So I thought I'll share a couple, and then we'll get listeners to tell us their dating stories. If you want to send it via message on Twitter, that's fine. Or if you want to send us a voice clip, that's fine. Hambo will give you the voice clip number at the end of the show. So let's talk about OkCupid, which Terence mentioned he'd had some success with. I don't know if success is the right word. I've been on it a couple of times. And the last time I was on it, it's a very expensive habit. You meet in London, you know, even if you're splitting the bill down the middle, and if you're not, then I find that a bit weird anyway. But, you know, it's an expensive habit, three or four times a week. you soon get sick of it. And I'd got sick of it. And this particular woman probably caught me at the very end of my tether. Now, first of all, she'd posted a lot of pictures, but only from one particular angle, which I found a little bit odd, but she seemed nice. She seemed chatty, so I met up with her. She arrived very late, and obviously that's some people's, you know, that's just the way they work, but she was best part of an hour late, so I was a pint or two in already. I'd waited outside for a while and then got annoyed with that and went inside. When she finally arrived, I first of all realised why she'd sent pictures from that particular angle, and that she had, obviously very self-conscious about a chin condition. I can only describe it as sort of Jimmy Hill-esque, but to one side. So, yeah, a little bit weird, but, you know, you get on with it. You think, well, maybe you could be honest about this in the first place. That's not a problem. She spent about the first hour of being there, not asking me anything whatsoever, just telling me about the Jewish dating site that she'd used, and how that she'd had quite a lot of issues with finding someone good on a Jewish dating site, which the only thing I really pointed out was you already have trouble meeting nice people on a dating site, let alone then limiting your clientele down to just Jewish people. So, yeah, I wasn't that surprised. And then after she'd finished talking about that, she wanted to talk about the fact that she volunteered at the Samaritans, which was, you know, I was very interested in. Then it quickly turned into she was clearly trying to sell the Samaritans as a volunteering work. And I felt like it got to the point where the Samaritans had decided that they would use OkCupid as a way to get more people. So in the first sort of 2 hours, all we talked about is JewishDating.com and the Samaritans. That's absolutely fine. And I'd come to the end of my tether. You know, I'd already been, I don't know, a dozen dates with people, some of them nice, some of them less nice. So, you know, she caught me on a bad day. And I did say to her, you know, do you want to ask me about me? And she didn't really say much. She was like, okay, well, what do you do for a living? You know, and I said at the time what I was doing. And she's like, oh, well, I guess that's quite a low wage job. And I was like, what? I've had enough of this. My Peroni that was in front of me, I just finished it. I just put it down on the table politely and I said, I'm off. I've had enough. I really don't need this. You've not mentioned me at all. I'll finish my pint. I'm going to go. That's nice. She then messaged me the next day to ask if I wanted to meet up with her again. So, yeah, she was the worst one. And the only other one that I'd say, it was a bit more tragic, really. DR probably doesn't remember MySpace, but I was touring in a band at the time, and this person actually got hold of me on MySpace, and I think quite young, you know, quite low self esteem as musicians tend to be. I met up with her. She wanted to meet exceptionally late in town, which was fine. And again, was a bit later than I was. She turned up absolutely plastered, like properly plastered, but, you know, tried to pretend like she wasn't. Very nice, very attractive, that kind of thing. Chatted, but clearly she wasn't remembering anything I said. So I said, you know, let's meet for another day. You know, you've obviously been out a little bit already. She said, no, let's go to a club. I know a Greek club where they smash plates. And I was like, you know what? It's a weekday. I'm not really into this. So the next day, I thought nothing of it. I thought, you know, she's clearly hammered. Didn't really hear from her. A few days later, she emailed and said, you know, what did I do? What did I do that was wrong? And I said, well, you were really drunk. And she's like, no, I wasn't drunk. I was on drugs. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that's... That's absolutely fine. And I said, look, I'm not really looking for that. So her reply wasn't to send me any replies to my initial criticisms. It was to send me some naked photos where she was like on a cracked end bed, like that was on the floor. So it, I don't know. It looked like it was just like a mattress with nothing on it, and then like this sort of, I don't know, like an art studio or something that she was living in. And it was like quite arty pictures. Like one was just of her foot, and I was just like, oh my god, this is ah. And I didn't reply to her. Anyway, about a year later, I got a message on Facebook. I was still on at the time, from one of her friends saying that, you know, Joa spoke really, really highly of you, but she's died of a heroin overdose. And I was like, fucking hell.
I'm so glad I didn't chip in with, have you still got a number in the middle of that? Because I thought it was funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's no longer with us, but I can't put that as my worst dating experience. It's tragic, but yeah, I've definitely had a fair few dodgy ones.
I've got a question. How do you find these people? I mean, you know the phrase, you are what you attract. Well, you know that phrase.
Absolutely. I mean, apparently she came and watched us at one of our gigs and obviously thought that I too enjoyed a bit of the brown stuff, which I didn't. So yes, the other one, OkCupid, you can get on there, very useful site, but steer clear of anyone that talks about the Jewish dating site, jewishdating.com.
Well, there we go. I mean, I don't have a specific dating story to share now, but I'm going to try and lighten the mood of mine, and then we'll see what the hell Nick and Dio have got, if anything, for us. Back in my early 20s, I was living with a girl, and she was a lot of fun, and I was a bit of a nightmare back then, in terms of being quite sort of erratic with my behaviour in general. And I think we kind of, worse than I am
back
now.
Then.
Slightly
no,
matured,
that can't
slightly,
be true.
Ever so slightly. And so we, I mean, in this shared house, we, you know, we had a couple of other mates living there as well. And we were, I think we decided to have a barbecue or something that day. And anyway, so we were hammered from very, very early on in the day. A load of people came around and we're like, okay, we better get this barbecue on. And then, you know, essentially realized we had physically had a barbecue, but nothing else. So my mate Paul was sort of like, right, look, I'll do it. I'll sort it all out. But you've got to go and get some fire lighters and some charcoal and some food, right? Just go do that. Pretty basic instruction. But as I say, we were very far gone by that point. It was like well into the evening and we'd probably been drinking and other things from very early on that day. So we went to the shops, but unfortunately by the time we got to the local shops, we had forgotten our purpose completely. And at the shops was a pet shop. And I spent £230 on the supplies to keep a rabbit and bought a rabbit. And then took that home, walked in the door, then remembered seeing my, when as soon as I saw my mate's face, remembering that I was supposed to have bought fire lighters and had in fact bought a pet rabbit. And that rabbit stayed with me for quite a long while. It was essentially our child. And I got it in a slightly messy divorce. And then, it ended up living with my parents until it passed away. So there you go. That's my story. But it was a lovely rabbit. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
Did the rabbit die of a heroin overdose?
No, I won't go into rabbit. You know, she lived a good life. That's all I'm going to say. It's a very sad. If I start thinking about it too much, I'll probably get a bit emotional. So, Nick, what have you got?
Well, the day I met Rachel, we got given a cat. Somebody went down to shops post clubbing to buy a can of nourishment because that's what we had. We thought it was the superpower that kept us going for a few more hours. And somebody gave us a cat. So we took the cat to the pub. And we eventually took the cat to the Rolf Harris Hospital and Holloway Road. And it got cured and then went to live with my friends. But yeah, that was about the most exciting romantic thing that's ever happened to me. Apart from once when I split up from a girlfriend and then spent the evening dancing on stage with supermodels while Boy George sung Starman. That was quite good, but I might save that for another time.
Kernaz, you're probably a bit young for dating.
Nah, I haven't. I'll just keep it fairly short. I mean, you lot have been going on about this dating thing for so long. So, yeah, I haven't. I won't be waffling about anything.
Fair enough. And you've given us the mouthwash story already, so we probably can't ask too much more of you. Mike, COVID-19-11.
Yeah, I mean, nobody asked for it. Literally no one asked for a COVID-19-based Palace 11. So Sam Clacker and myself came up with some. Feel free to improve on them. Send in more. Maybe we can come up with an absolutely perfect 11 by the 12 weeks. Some of these are poor, starting with the goalkeeper, because we really haven't had that many goalkeepers. Alex Kalinklo on toilet roll, we've gone with. On the left, we've gone with Johnny Respiratory Issues.
Do you know sometimes you kind of do stuff before an actual show just to see how it goes with a crowd before doing it live?
I think plow on, yeah.
Mamadou, Mike. Sack off work and sit and watch Netflix in your pants. Fitz Hall's menthol lozenges. Now, we could have easily gone with Joel Ward on the right here, but we didn't. We went with Aaron Wuhan-Bissaka.
All right. You've redeemed it slightly. Let's go.
Tommy Blackout after home day drinking. Mattiao Flemini.
Nice.
Now, this was Sam's, not mine. Aki Rihilati.
Oh, Aki. Oh, I see. All right.
Wilfred Sars. Alexander Sore Throat. And up front, Jermaine Easter.
Well, if you can improve on those, and my God, I think you probably can, get in touch.
Apart from Aaron Wuhan-Bissaka.
Oh, no, that is superb. There is no improving on that. That's excellent work. If you've got any of those, email hi@backofthenest.com, get in touch on any of our social media, or perhaps leave us a voice message on 0203 575 1266. That's WhatsApp voice memos rather than an answer phone or anything like that. That's what that is. Okay, well, it's that time again, Mike. It's time for Mike's quiz of the week.
Hey, we really need a jingle still, if anyone wants to make one. So last time there was some allegations from Christopher Hamblin towards Samantha Clacker that perhaps he cheated. And
producer Michael Fairley is also certain that Sam cheated. I just thought I'd like to say that. I just alleged it, whereas he is flat out saying it happened.
Several listeners also alleged he's cheated. So I thought I would play with the game a little bit and make sure that you can't cheat. So I'm kind of doing it backwards. So if you didn't listen, I'd nicked the idea from the Football Ramble where you say, oh, this player's played for this many clubs. Can you name them? So I think we'd done Wayne Hennessy and we'd said he played for five clubs and, you know, Hambo knew two and suddenly Sam knew three. Well, this time I'm going to tell you a fact about a player. I'm going to tell you when he moved to Palace in his career and you're going to try and guess who it is. So there's no way to sort of Wikipedia it or Google it or that kind of thing. So we're going to go through, I'm going to tell you, for example, I don't know, he joined Palace from X and X in this year and it was his fifth club and you can try and tell me who it was. So are you guys up for that?
Yeah, I think so. Can I suggest that if we struggle to know the answers, you start to maybe list the clubs if that's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got some easier ones if it's too hard. I'm going with one that I reckon is medium hard to start with. Hambo, you started before, so maybe start with DR?
No, I start with Hambo so I could get the grips of it.
All right, well, let's start with Nick then, because Hambo's out there started last. Yeah, okay. So,
all right, I'll be the guinea pig.
In 2012, this particular player joined Palace from Ipswich Town. Yes!
Damien
Devane. Yes, absolutely amazing. Okay, good work. So it was his fifth parent club. He'd been on loan a few times. He played 3 years for Ipswich, 98 times. Ended up playing for Palace 170 times. Would you possibly know how many goals he scored in that time? Would you want to have a go?
Don't Damien Delaney's
scored. Oh, it's close. He scored six goals in 170 appearances. So, yes, excellent work. Okay, right. So, this gentleman, he joined from Fulham in 2011. And this will be to you, Hambo.
Fulham in 2011?
Yep.
Kagiso Dikachoy?
Yes.
Boom, shakalaka.
Good Lord. Excellent work. So, Palace was his fourth club. He started at Bloemfontein Young Tigers, then off to Golden Arrows. I assume they're still in the Safa region. Then ended up at Fulham, played 14 times, joined Palace on loan, ended up playing with us 92 times. And I do love a bit of KG. So, press is probably on. They are, and you probably should have just gone. So he actually joined, this player joined from Ipswich Town, where he was on loan in 2009.
Jeez, Ipswich in 2009. So, I don't, I won't even lie and waste your time. I don't know, what happens now?
Well, if you want to pass it up to the next player. So Nick, do you want to have a guess?
Ipswich Town 2009 joined us from them on loan. Was it Freddie Sears? He was at Ipswich on loan and he came to us from Ipswich. He's already on loan there.
So
Freddie Sears.
Let's give you another clue. Hammer, you have a guess, then we'll give you another clue.
Well, I've got two in my head, and I'm going to go with Darren Ambrose. But I think he is. Okay.
It is Darren Ambrose. So he was, I thought if I told you he was at Charlton, it would be too easy. So went with. He was at Ipswich on loan in 2008-2009, barely played, obviously after a period of being out of favour, and you know what he did for us afterwards. So, I believe that's 2 points for Hambo, 1 point for Nick, and nothing for DR so far. So, Hambo, back to your good self. This player joined... Sorry.
Isn't it my go? Sorry, I thought I was doing a bonus for... For Dio.
Well, no, because then he's had one less go, hasn't he? But it's your go anyway, sorry. So this player joined from Hertha Berlin in 2004.
Hertha Berlin in 2004. Yeah, Marco
Reich. It goes to Hambo next.
I mean, I know DR knows it, so I'm sort of tempted to get him a point by getting it wrong, but it's Gabor Kirai, isn't it?
It is Gabor Kirai. 198 games for Hertha Berlin before he came to us for 104 games. And what a man, what a man. Posted a rather sexy picture of him on Twitter yesterday. Happy to repost if people want it. So, another player that joined from Charlton Athletic as his parent club in 2008, DR.
2008.
I mean, technically, it's my go, isn't it?
What?
Isn't
it? Sorry. No, yes, hang on. Is it Nick DR me or Nick me DR?
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You went second, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. So that was...
So, joined from Charlton in 2008.
Charlton in 2008. Who the hell have we got from Charlton in 2008?
How long did I get this, my go?
Oh, I can't believe DR's got this and I haven't. You were 8 years old, DR, when this guy joined. How do you know?
Because he's a very well-known player.
Is he?
Yes. Oh, why am I telling you this?
Go on, DR. Put us out of a
movie. Paddy McCarthy.
It is indeed Paddy McCarthy.
Shit.
29 games for Charlton before he went on to play 134 games with us. And... Yes, what a lad. What a lad. So a less well-known player, although still an absolute legend. DR, he joined from Derby County in 2011.
Derby 2011. All right. The first name that came into my head was... What? No, he won't be Gerard Lilly. He came from Celtic. 2011. He joined in 2011, Derby County. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Okay, pass it over to Nick.
Derby County 2011. Oh, I haven't got a clue. Ledley.
No, it wasn't Ledley.
Dean Moxey.
It is Dean Moxey, yes, absolutely. I was about to give another clue. Played 3 years for Derby, 52 games, came to Palace, played 91 games. I thought he played more than that, I won't lie to you. So, let's have one more round. Oh, sorry, have we finished that round? No.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That was DR got it wrong, then Nick got it wrong. Yeah.
Right, so, Nick, this player, he joined from Leeton Town in 2004.
What year? 2000 and... And he's a legend, is he?
I would say he's quite a legend, personally. He played a decent amount of games, a couple of seasons worth, 69 appearances for us.
Love Sport, Nick.
Okay. Oh.
No, it's Chris? Gone.
Emerson Boyce, isn't it?
It is Emerson Boyce, indeed. Excellent. So, let's go to yourself. So, this player started his professional career at Palace in 2003.
What? That is the worst clue ever.
Yes, it is.
How dare you? How dare you? Started his, so that was his professional Palace career. I don't suppose I can get any indication. Well, I suppose he would have been a youth player, wouldn't he? Right. So,
his youth career. I don't know. I'm afraid. I told you they get a bit more difficult.
2003.
Yes.
How don't you know this?
All right, well, I'm passing over to DR straight away.
I don't know it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, well, let's give Nick one go.
Can I have a punt?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to have a punt at... Oh, hang on, no, that I've just done the maths and that's insane. Let me have a punt at someone else. I'm going to go with... let's go with David Woosley. There you go.
No, it's not David Woosley. Nick, have a go and then I'll give you another clue. 2003. Okay. Well, let's give you another clue. He's currently at Nottingham Forest.
John Bostock.
No, it's not John Bostock.
Damn, that's done the maths again. That was idiotic. I'll go away.
There.
Oh, I think I might have it. No. Right. Yeah, maybe Lewis Graven?
You'll have to wait. No, two guesses. It's not Lewis Graven. I think he's at Middlesbrough, isn't he? Dia?
No. I'm going to mess up this guy here.
Oh, Ben Watson.
It is Ben Watson. My next clue would have been he went off to Wigan after us, and I was absolutely gutted at the time. Okay, so let's have... Should we have one more? So one more for DR, okay. So this player, his sixth parent club was Crystal Palace in 2003. Went on to play for 126 appearances at Palace.
Yeah, so in 2003, I was barely walking. So what was I doing?
Very, very famous Palace player
in 2003.
Yep, carried on until 2007 at Palace.
So, okay, he carried on till I was 7 years old. jeez. Oh! Hold up. So this is one of the old boys, yeah?
You're trying to buy time. Go for it. Guess.
I feel like you would pick this man because of the bants. Was it be Shipley?
No, it wouldn't be Shipley. No, I've deliberately not mentioned him in this list. Nick. No, it's not AJ. Chris.
AJ. Sixth club, right?
Yep.
Michael Hughes?
Yes, Michael. Oh, Hambo's won this game. Yes, Carrick Rangers, Man City, Strasbourg, West Ham, Wimbledon, on to Palace. So, yes, we can get more difficult. We can go further back in time. We can come nearer in time in the future. Which seems a little bit unfair on DR as we're going for older players. But this one, definitely hand by with the victory. I hope people did well at home.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'm happy if the quizzes are unfair to DR. That's
You're just a cheat. It's fine. I mean, you're thinking, it's good. Your acting skills are good, though. 2003. Let me just Google. Who joined in 2003?
How would I...
Yeah.
What Google would I do for that?
I don't know, because I'm not the cheat, so the track is that on me.
Yeah. Wash your mouth out, DR, accusing him.
To be honest, it's right, you know, that game's right in my wheelhouse, because, you know, I do spend long periods of time thinking about what clubs people played for and when. That's why I was so devastated last week to lose to Sam. So there you go. And, you know, the really weird thing, and this is honestly true, Mike will verify that he's not told me anything. In the last probably 3 days, I have looked at both KG's Wikipedia page and Darren Ambrose's Wikipedia page.
That is tragic.
Yep. I am a sad, sad man. Just a quick reminder to download the Pitch Sport Football app, Google Pitch Sport Football, check out their website, download the app, get involved with us, and hopefully football will be starting again at some point in the not-too-distant future, and you can get your views on that. And it'll help build statistics and content for our shows in the future. Support them as they support us. Be much appreciated. If you do want to chuck in any comments or any of your own stories, WhatsApp voicemail message thing, voice memo message number is 0203 575 1266. Email hi@backthenest.com and check us out on all of social media. Subscribe, rate, and rate 5 stars, of course. And there'll be many, many more podcasts to come. Thank you to Mikey for producing, to DR, Nick and Mike for joining me today, and as ever, for you for listening. And we'll speak to you again soon. It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.